Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. Alan J. Huth shares a Bible passage with comments from over 35 years of his personal Bible reading journals and applies the Word of God to our daily lives.
Today is day 3 on our 31-day journey through the book of Isaiah. Today we will cover chapters 7 and 8, and those will be read by Faith Comes by Hearing. So let's listen in to Isaiah 7 and 8.
Isaiah 7. In the days of Ahaz the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin the king of Syria and Pekah the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it. When the house of David was told,
Syria is in league with Ephraim,
the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And the Lord said to Isaiah,
Go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jashub your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field, and say to him,
Be careful, be quiet, do not fear and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands, at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, Let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves, and set up the son of Tebaal as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God, It shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all.
Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz.
Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven.
But Ahaz said,
I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test.
And he said,
Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land, whose two kings you dread, will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. In that day the Lord will whistle for the fly that is at the end of the streams of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they will all come and settle in the steep ravines and in the clefts of the rocks, and on all the thorn bushes and on all the pastures. In that day the Lord will shave with a razor that is hired beyond the river, with the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it will sweep away the beard also. In that day a man will keep alive a young cow and two sheep, and because of the abundance of milk that they give, he will eat curds, for everyone who is left in the land will eat curds and honey. In that day every place where there used to be 1,000 vines worth 1,000 shekels of silver will become briars and thorns. With bow and arrows a man will come there, for all the land will be briars and thorns. And as for all the hills that used to be hoed with a hoe, you will not come there for fear of briars and thorns, but they will become a place where cattle are let loose and where sheep tread.
Isaiah 8.
Then the Lord said to me,
Take a large tablet and write on it in common characters, belonging to Maher-Shalal-Hash-Baz, and I will get reliable witnesses, Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah, to attest for me.
And I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said to me,
Call his name Maher-shalal-hash-baz, for before the boy knows how to cry, my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria will be carried away before the king of Assyria.
The Lord spoke to me again, because this people has refused the waters of Shiloah that flow gently, and rejoice over Rezin and the son of Remaliah. Therefore, behold, the Lord is bringing up against them the waters of the river, mighty and many, the king of Assyria and all his glory. And it will rise over all its channels and go over all its banks. And it will sweep on into Judah. It will overflow and pass on, reaching even to the neck. And its outspread wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. Be broken, you peoples, and be shattered. Give ear, all you far countries. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak a word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me, and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony. Seal the teaching among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are signs and portents in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. And when they say to you,
Inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter.
Should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? To the teaching and to the testimony. If they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. They will pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry. And when they are hungry, they will be enraged and will speak contemptuously against their king and their God and turn their faces upward. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness.
Back in 1991, in my personal Bible reading journal, concerning chapter 7, I wrote about 7:14, prediction of Christ's virgin birth. In 2001, 10 years later, I read Isaiah 7 through 9, and I did not make a comment on Isaiah 7. So let's go to my next journal in 2011. In that journal, I quoted chapter 7, verse 9, If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. And then I wrote, Ahaz was invited to ask for a sign from God. He declined. So, quote, the Lord himself will give you a sign. And Isaiah prophesies the virgin birth of Jesus, again referring to verse 14. Before we get to verse 14, let's go back to verse 9. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. How firm is your faith? Your immediate answer might be, my faith is pretty firm. And normally our faith is pretty firm when things are comfortable. But how about when your Christianity is challenged, or the culture around you becomes less Christian and sometimes even antagonistic toward those of us of faith? Then, how firm is your faith? I know in recent days my faith has been tested more than I want most of the time. And I have learned through the testing that my faith is firm. And I am willing to stand against the cultural pressures of the day to stand firm in my faith in biblical principles that relate to my Christianity. So again, quoting this verse, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Now let's look at this great verse in chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. In my English Standard Version Study Bible, there are a lot of footnotes related to this verse. Let me read a part of it. It says, although some claim that the word translated virgin refers generally to a young woman, it actually refers specifically to a maiden, that is, to a young woman who is unmarried and sexually chaste, and has virginity as one of her characteristics. Thus, when the Septuagint translators, 200 years before the birth of Christ, rendered Alma, here with Greek Parthenos, a specific term for virgin, they rightly perceived the meaning of the Hebrew term, and when Matthew applied this prophecy to the virgin birth of Christ, it was in accord with well-established understanding of the word virgin as used in the Septuagint and in other Greek writers. So pardon my Hebrew and Greek mispronunciations, but I think you get the message. Matthew, the gospel writer, verifies the meaning of this verse when he uses it directly in relationship to Jesus' birth. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, he says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel is translated, God is with us. I continue with my reading in my footnote. Christian interpretation follows Matthew in applying this verse to the birth of Jesus. However, some aspects of Isaiah's prophecy also relate to the significance of the sign for Isaiah's own day. So sometimes prophetic verses have a singular meaning and sometimes a double fulfillment. I've said many times before, I'm not a biblical scholar, I'm not a pastor, I didn't go to seminary, so I'm not going to get into whether this is applicable to only the birth of Jesus or also to what Ahaz was facing at the time. That's why we go to church, and that's why we get good study Bibles, so we can read and hear from others about passages like this. I just know that each time I've read this verse, and I refer to it in my journals in 10-year increments here, that this verse applies to the virgin birth of Jesus. And to that I say, praise the Lord. And before we close out our time in Isaiah 7 and 8, I do want to refer to a verse in chapter 8. It's verse 19, and it says, when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? The application to me from that verse is, who do you ask advice from? Today, we ask Google for everything. We ask Siri for everything. We ask our friends. And we get opinions from a lot of worldly sources. This verse reminds us, should not a people inquire of their God? So the application I get is, don't just go to those who chirp and mutter, according to this verse, but also take your issues to the Lord. Look in His Word, pray and seek the Lord, inquire of God. Get biblical counsel, get godly wisdom as you're making decisions and choices in your life. Lord, we thank you that in this passage today, hundreds of years before it happened, you predicted the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you for the reminder to not just go to worldly sources for advice, but also to inquire of our God. You invited Ahaz to ask a sign of the Lord, and he refused. You invite us to inquire of you. May we not refuse, but may we come to you and listen for your small, still voice that will help us make decisions, that will guide us in the steps we want and need to take in life. Thank you for your promises we find in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.